Hey everybody, welcome into the Haven Podcast. You could be listening to anything else in the world right now, but you are listening to me, and I appreciate that. I hope you all had a wonderful 3-day weekend for President's Day. I know I sure did, so just right off the bat, I want to apologize for getting this out a little bit late. Got home from a weekend trip with my brothers, very, very exciting stuff. Excuse me. Can't wait to kind of give you like the Cliff Notes version of that stuff, of that whole last couple of days. So by the time I got home and everything like that, and just wanted to see the family and what have you, and spend some time with them, and just kind of mentally get in a better space, because it's fucking exhausting. Just kind of going back and forth the last 2 weekends, definitely out of the routine. Before I put up the episode, didn't want to give you a too much of a crap show, like I, you know, at least not more of a crap show than I usually do. So yeah, definitely want to do that, and then just kind of, yeah, work on some certain notes things and for today's episode and on today's video. Gosh, I could see where my headspace is at. On this week's TV and film focused episode, we got a couple little goodies to get to, two bigger points I kind of want to talk about, just my 2 cents in regards to them, and then we have a handful of industry notes I can't wait to touch on. There's some good stuff in there. But real quick before we start the show and we kind of jump into it, new thing I started doing, or we started doing, I have 3 older brothers. We started doing this thing where we try to just get together for a weekend and just hang out, you know, no wives, no kids, that sort of stuff, just kind of catch up and get back to that that good old Greek feel that we try to do. So no, it was fun. Definitely a lot of good conversation, a lot of good jokes along the way and everything. So, but I would be remiss if I wasn't completely honest and transparent. So I would probably say, so we got there, we drove down to Oregon Friday afternoon-ish or something. Actually, it was like late afternoon. We got to our place, the Airbnb we rented. And I'm not going to lie, probably like an hour and a half in, I felt like the biggest piece of shit in the world. So we rent this place. It's like this cabin looking thing out in the woods, middle of nowhere in Oregon. You know, great idea. You know, all you have is the sound of the river going by. You know, beautiful stuff. Just the forest, all that shit. It's just, oh my God. Fucking, it's peaceful. You just kind of dial in, very zen-like atmosphere. And the cabin itself, for the most part, was great. So the reason I felt like a piece of shit was because all I was smelling all weekend was shit. And you're like, Danny, where are you going with this? So in all fairness to the Airbnb owner slash, yeah, the owner, they talked about how, hey, we're like connected to a well type of thing, so the water has a very sulfur smell. I didn't know what that meant. And it's in the listing, there was reviews into it. And I don't know how the fuck I missed this and dropped the ball so heavily on it. But I, being the lazy idiot that I am, did not Google to see what that was. So I thought maybe it was going to be like an iron type of like smell to it almost. Like when I heard sulfur, I didn't think about it. I did not fucking know it was going to be rotten eggs. So the fucking 2 days that we're there, that's all you fucking smell in the house. So we had to keep all like the bathroom doors closed with the fan on, like the fucking drinking water and all that shit, the shower, everything smelled like fucking eggs. It was horrible. Just and I mean, she had a filter in the top shower, so I was the only one that took a shower, but I fucked up at first and I wasn't thinking. I was like, oh, I'll just let the water run in the bottom bathroom and I'll be good to go. So I hop in there, you know, and I come out and I sit down on the couch and I'm all ready to go. And my one brother looks at me, he's like, why the fuck do you smell like that? And I kept smelling the rotten egg smell. I didn't think it was for me. I thought it was just in general because the whole place fucking stank like it. So I ran upstairs, took a shower in the filtered one, and I didn't get any like rotten egg comments from there. But it was just really fucking weird. And she gave us water and everything, which is great. But yeah, that's on me, guys. My apologies. That's on me. So I felt like a total just, oh man, like an a-hole the whole fucking trip. I'm like, oh, sorry, I booked this beautiful place and I didn't do my thorough research of what fucking sulfur could be. Just smelled like the worst fucking rotten eggs ever. And like in the bathrooms, I noticed this like at the end of day one, this is where I fucked up. So I closed the door to the bedroom, had its own bathroom and everything. And I'm like, okay, I gotta turn the fan on, I'll close the door, just fuck out, and I'll just plug my, or hold my breath when I go in there. So I didn't know that one of the buttons had a heater. So there's like a heater mounted to the ceiling of the bathroom. So walking into that was just a fucking warm, smelly pile of eggs, of rotten eggs. And it's just like doing that dry vomit heave that you do, like that, dude. It was fucking horrible. But other than that, and the place was legit. Like, it was super, super cool. They had this whole bottom floor retrofitted with like pool tables and shit and a great lounge area. We didn't get to spend hardly any time, I think, in there. Reasons I'm still trying to figure out as to why, because that was like one of the main reasons why I booked the place. But no, it was a fun trip. It was great, and yeah, just a really, really good fun time. So, but I'm also really happy and excited to be back and get back in the routine a little bit of the day-to-day stuff. It's funny how fucking, and this is going to sound like first world pretentious problems, I'm sure. It's hilarious to me how fucking exhausting, like, going on trips is. Just, like, it seems like a good idea, then you do it, and you're just like, I'm never doing that shit again for another year. No wonder people take 1 year vacations. I don't blame them. But no, it was cool. Good bonding experience and stuff like that. But that's not why you listen about Airbnbs and egg smells. And that's on me, you know. What you do listen to is for the latest and greatest going on in the world of TV and film. And I got a couple little goodies to get to. So I saw this last night, and this is probably the one particular topic we're going to go over today on today's episode that got me extremely excited. And we'll go into the reasons why here in a second. But it's official. Hasbro, the toy maker who owns the Transformers IP, they came out at the New York Toy Fair. And there's a really popular Transformers fan site called TFW 2005. Cool name. And they said via Hasbro that the Bumblebee movie that came out last year is the official reboot movie for the entire Transformers cinematic universe going forward. Now, for those that do listen to the podcast steadily, I had a review. Go check it out. I think it's probably, what, like 8, maybe 10 episodes previous to this one. For my review of Bumblebee, it was a movie that I went in with like little to no expectations. I just went in just to see a film, and I walked out really fucking enjoying it. And for the most part, as I said in that review, it's the Iron Giant, but in the Transformers universe. So I even brought it up, I believe at the time, I was curious how they were going to handle this, because this movie came out and I think it made okay money, enough to justify a sequel and to keep this new mindset of how they were going to do Transformers movies going forward. And I was just kind of like, this is kind of lame that you made this really cool Transformers film, but unfortunately it's attached to the Michael Bay Transformers universe. It's not going to be its own thing or start something new. And I kind of thought like, oh, is this going to be like a throwaway movie, like actually a really good film that just doesn't get the gist that it deserves because it's attached to the stigma of like really awful bloated Transformers movies, and it's not that whatsoever. And so I'm very, very excited and happy to see that Hasbro did this. My personal take on it is, don't get it twisted. This is Hasbro, without a shadow of a doubt in my mind, looking at the numbers, looking at the critical acclaim, because it got fucking awesome reviews, and people seem generally to really enjoy the film. They looked at it, and they're like, okay, this thing is killing it, people seem to really, really enjoy it, and we did make it with the mindset of being attached to Michael Bay's crap. Let's just fucking reboot it. Let's use this as our first reboot film in the Transformers universe. We've been talking about it. This is a great first stepping stone. And then maybe in the next film, whether it's Bumblebee 2 or a true Transformers movie, we can find a way to kind of write our way out of the box we've put ourselves in and being so attached at the hip to the whole Michael Bay universe Transformers crap. So seeing this, I was just like, oh my God, this is great. So fucking exciting. And I don't know, I can't wait to see what they do next. As long as they keep going with, not the theme, but the general philosophy that they had in Bumblebee. You know, these more, it's not just freaking plastic toys and CGI just bashing into each other. Transformers can be more than that. I think Bumblebee did a great job of showcasing this. And I'm curious just to see how they do it moving forward, if the next movie is going to be a Bumblebee 2. Because they're definitely, I think, had an idea that, I mean, we had rumors for how long they were going to reboot Transformers, and it just so happened Bumblebee, if I'm remembering correctly, was just in a point of, I think, through filming, where they were talking about rebooting, but we're like, fuck, Bumblebee's already filming right now, so we can't like cancel the film or anything like that. Let's just get it out and stuff. And it turned out to be this thing that people really enjoyed. And we're like, yes, we want to see more Transformers films, but like Bumblebee, you know, and just do different stuff with it. So I'm curious how they're going to do this moving forward, because now I'm sure they're audibling. They're like back to the drawing board of like, okay, do we come out with a Bumblebee 2? Do we go into an Optimus Prime movie? Do we say screw it and just follow the Marvel model, which is what I suggest you do, where, hey, you go ahead and you have like these cast of characters or Autobots, and you want to make solo films to build up their story and their arc like Marvel does, and then do like a Transformers movie that's like your version of the Avengers, go for it. And for people out there that are like, okay, dude, so you got Optimus, Bumblebee, who else you got out there? Who else is going to get a solo film? Megatron? And I'm like, eh, I probably wouldn't do that. But again, at the end of the day, just like Marvel, there was a shit. Let's be honest. Iron Man was not a character going into Iron Man 1 that I think anybody at Marvel would have said originally, we should build this giant cinematic connected universe around Iron Man. Like, come on. Let's be honest here. Let's be true to ourselves and everything like that. It's because these characters do have depth to them, and you can write it. And there's tons of history that shows that, hey, you could take a Transformer, like fucking Ironhide or something, and make it work if you want to. It's just about putting that love and attention and believing in that property and having a bigger vision, which I hope moving forward they do. But more importantly, keep this out of the reach of Michael Bay. Oh, please just don't. I'm sure he has something in his contract where he's going to have like an EP credit on every Transformers film from here to the end of time. And that's great. But just make sure it's like a name thing only. Like, he has nothing. I don't want to see any of his fingerprints. I don't even want to see him and like his Hummer near the fucking set of them filming a Transformers movie. I don't know if he owns a Hummer. I would assume Michael Bay seems like the dude that owns a Hummer. Like a very tricked out Hummer, and he probably has like a Gatling gun attached to the roof for some reason. You're like, Michael, why do you need a Gatling gun? He's like, I don't know, I can do it. You want to see some explosion videos? And it's like, what? You have those queued up on your YouTube on your phone? What the fucking weirdo? So I super excited to see where they kind of go with this. And again, this stuff makes money and it's good, and parents want to actually go see it, and families. Works double bonus for Hasbro. You can make a new toy line, sell that shit to kids, keep the IP relevant. That's what it's about, that relevancy and what have you. So super stoked for this news. I was really afraid they were just gonna kind of throw Bumblebee to the weeds a little bit and just be like, yeah, it was a cool movie, but we have it so baked in to the Michael Bay. And I mean, watching the movie, you can kind of see that a little bit. I think the director of Bumblebee even said that, we had a deleted scene, or we had an idea that in the beginning of the movie we wanted to show like 80s Megatron, but because of the fact it's connected to the Michael Bay Transformers, that wouldn't make a lick of sense, because some shit, what was it, like Megatron, he was like, what, buried in ice or something on Earth, like what was it, like 100 something years before, which again makes zero sense of like who's leading the Decepticons in that Cybertron opening scene. But I mean, it's cool stuff like that, and again, you get handcuffed a little bit trying to keep a sense of continuity, which is hilarious. The word continuity, I would never think of in a Michael Bay universe of movies, but there you go. Like you're kind of handcuffing yourself. So yeah, let the reins free, do your own thing, and just make these focused Transformers movies that have heart, that have character arcs of these robots, you know. And that sounds kind of silly, but you can make it work and make a really fun, good movie out of it that's enjoyable, just like I had with Bumblebee. So yeah, cannot wait to see how they do this moving forward. And what I hope they don't do is they panic and be like, we said this, it's official now, people are probably going to get excited about this news, what do we do now? And then they fucking do something stupid where I don't know, they have like, they like rush the Bumblebee 2 movie or whatever it is they said, or Optimus Prime. Like, nope. Get a plan, focus out, you have all these writers, you have a lot of resources at your fingertips, utilize them, be smart about it, and just make some kick-ass stuff where you can tap into the, pull on the heartstrings of that 80s nostalgia of like people my age, a little bit older, as well as like a younger generation, and get them involved, because that's what it's all about. When you're able to do that and you can share this stuff, and I've talked about it before on the podcast, when the time comes and I have kids, I cannot wait to like share. I'm loving that all this stuff from like the 80s and 90s is kind of getting rebooted and some of it is really, really good and well done. And some of it, as we know, is kind of crap, you know, which is lame. But I can't wait to experience that with my kids in the future of like, hey, you know, your dad was into this, blah, 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 when I was a kid. And it's, you share that stuff. I think it's really cool and exciting, you know, fun things. So with that said, let's move on to our next topic of the day. And this, I've been waiting to talk about this one. So I believe it was early last week. We got another like trailer and a little image result of a little movie called Aladdin. So for those that don't know, Disney does this thing where they've been doing this thing for a little while now, where they're making live action adaptions of some of their classic animated Disney films from like the 80s and 90s, right? So the next one on the docket is Aladdin. I think actually Guy Ritchie's directing it, which that in itself is a very, very interesting choice. So kind of going through, I think I talked about the teaser trailer before on here. I was just like, I'm not seeing this. This is one of my favorite movies as a kid growing up, and I've seen this teaser. It doesn't do anything for me. So as we progress and they show more and more footage of it, they show this new trailer. So I'm watching it, and I'm like, okay, let me adjust my wants and needs of what I think a live-action Aladdin movie is. Let me try to be a little more open-minded going into it. So as I'm watching the trailer, I'm like, oh, that kind of bugs me. That's fine. This movie's not going to be shit, right? And then they show fucking Will Smith, who's been casted as the genie. And it's, I don't even know kind of where to start with this. There's nothing I can say that I'm sure, for the most part, people have not already said or poked fun at. Because when you see Will Smith in CGI as a blue genie, yes, those words are all accurate of what I just said. I didn't have a stroke, believe it or not. That is completely accurate. They took Will Smith, turned him into CGI, and colored him blue. And my brother had a great point. Does he get in trouble for blue face? But that's beside the point. I'm trying to think where I can start with this. Oh, man. It looks terrible, and I saw another thing or whatever on one of my sites I go to where some YouTuber CGI'd Robin Williams as the genie, and I looked at it, and I'm like, okay, I think that looks better, and then I looked at it again, and I'm like, no, this still looks like crap. CGI'ing known actors, or pretty much any actor's face, regardless of technology, people, is a really, really bad idea. Go back and watch The Scorpion King. Remember that little movie? Or The Mummy? Was it Mummy Returns or something? When Dwayne Johnson, they CGI'd his face as a Scorpion King towards the end. It looks like crap. And then you could sit there and say, well, Danny, though, come on. That was how long ago? Okay, that's fair. Let's look at Disney, a company full of resources who owns Industrial Light and Magic. And it looks so terrible. Stop CGI'ing actors' faces, like, at all, period. Just stop doing that. And let alone, stop, like, coloring them blue. Like, it's fucking weird. So I went and I tried to do some research. And it looks like when they did the original Genie cartoon for Aladdin, that they put certain, from what I could find, the artist put certain, features of Robin Williams into the genie a little bit, but most of it was hand-drawn. So when he was doing his impersonations of like Jack Nicholson, that's all hand shit. They got a picture, cool, and it works. So why the hell don't you just make a CGI genie, right? Do what Marvel does with the Hulk. That, like, to me, that works, right? And what I mean by that, you look at like the Hulk's face when he's in full Hulk form, you see Eric Bana in there, but it's still like the Hulk. Does, you know, if that makes sense, it's still a freaking made up green monster guy. So why didn't you just do that with the genie? Like, they fucking just copied and pasted Will Smith's face over the genie. It's the weirdest. It's so odd and weird. And when they are auditioning and they give Will Smith the lines, like, oh, okay, here's some, like, more of the famous lines from Aladdin. Here you go. And I don't know if he's going to have musical numbers. Like, Will Smith is not, at least to me now, like, he was the shit, like, the bee's knees when I was a kid growing up. Like, you saw everything Will Smith was in. Now this guy's resorted to doing YouTube videos to stay relevant. Like, let's be honest here. And he's had some movies he's been in that I personally have enjoyed where I felt like, okay, he's putting in work. I mean, hell, look at that episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air about gun violence, people. Amazing. So, so fucking good. Even though Carlton stole the scenes. My point being, you get Will Smith, and I'm like, do they think he's still, like, popular, relevant? Like, he's still a big box office draw? Because at this point, from everything I've seen recently of Will Smith, and I, like, that Blight movie he did, or Bright or whatever on Netflix, Suicide Squad, these are really bad examples. But hey, he picks the roles. And now this, it's Will Smith not even trying to make an effort to act anymore. It's just Will Smith acting like Will Smith. And it's just really like, dude, are you just kind of mailing it in? Or are you just like still in this mindset? Like, no, I'm this big Hollywood actor. So I don't even have to really like, I wouldn't say make an effort, but I don't have to go outside the box. I don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's just me. And it's like, well, yeah, dude, but it's like you're, it comes off to me at least, like you're mailing it in. And it's so, it's really weird. So if you haven't watched it, I suggest you do. I just think it's funny at the end when he fucking floats and it's like CGI'd face Will Smith acting like Will Smith. And it just looks so weird. I don't know why they couldn't just do like a their own artist rendering of the genie and put it in and just have him do voiceover work. Is it like a situation where maybe they thought about that and Will Smith's like, hey, do you want me to do this movie? Because I won't do it unless you CGI my face on a floating blue body, all right? Like, it's like, okay, take it easy, Will Smith. We can get someone else to do it. Like, people are not coming to the theater to see you as the genie. Like, let's be honest here. So it's just like, it's just kind of shitty, you know? But yeah, it's just, oh my God, this movie is going to be a dud, isn't it? This is going to be a bad write-off for Disney, I think. There is, it's just so weird, like, oh man, this is not getting the hype you want reading it. I think it comes out in the summer, right? So it's coming out soon. Oh geez, it's gonna be bad. But speaking of horrible decisions made by directors, specifically studios and everything of that nature, I saw a little interesting write-up on a website I like to go to called Latino Review. No, it is not a gay Latino website, believe it or not. They're very focused on geek and nerd culture and stuff, and I've been following them for a while, and for the most part I enjoy what they do. It still has a shitty name, but they had a great write-up, and I kind of wanted to bring it to the forefront and not steal but borrow the idea, the talking concept of it. And the reason being, I don't know, I when it comes to a lot of stuff, when it whether it's video games, movies, etc., pretty much anything, I should say, even cars, tech, you name it, I have this infatuation with the inner workings, like the behind the scenes stuff, like the mindsets of the people that make these choices and decisions, of why they make these choices and decisions. So this was a really good one that they brought up, and I kind of wanted to piggyback off of it a little bit. So they were talking about how looking at the DC movie landscape, because I find it very, we've talked about it a lot before, my disdain for it, but I think the overall idea of this DC connected universe, which by all evidence is pointing to that they're going away from it completely. Like, they're trying to distance themselves as much as possible, Warner Brothers is. That I still can't get over the fact of how do you fuck up something this bad? Like, these, what's the word I'm looking for? These iconic characters, Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, etc., the Justice League idea, you name it. And you just go so far away from it in a point where you just totally drop the ball. Like, you just miss it completely. And you keep missing it. And I think it's easy to say, oh, well, it's Zack Snyder. And that's a big part of it. I mean, Zack Snyder, they gave him the keys to the kingdom and say, all right, Zack Snyder, you're known as a great storyteller and universe builder. So we want you to do that with our DC movies. Oh, wait, he's not? No, what's a sucker punch? I think that's kind of an easy comp to do, but you still have to have some checks and balances, and you can't just keep hiring people that, and put them in roles that it just doesn't work, like positions of power. Like when they brought Jeff Jones in and, who was that other guy to like spotlight the studio with all these movies, and then they got fired and everything. So bottom line, they brought in their new guy to kind of lead the studio. And this gentleman, I believe, made his bones with making horror movies. Like really budget horror movies for like 25, maybe 30 million. They come out, and if they hit, they make like 200 plus million. So you're talking about just making bank off of it, right? So they just brought up a good idea, or an observation, I should say, where it looks like he's doing the same plan and concept with the DC movies, where you see them taking these gambles on either, not gambles, but either they're going to take something that made money and people enjoyed, like an Aquaman, and make a sequel out of it, or a Wonder Woman, But as far as everything else goes, that's why you see like a Birds of Prey movie, which is like another Harley Quinn spinoff. And you're seeing, what's the other talk? Like Shazam, who I think Shazam overall is a great character. It can be done really well. So that was already in development before they did it. But then they're talking about like, we're going to sideline Superman and we're going to put the money into Supergirl. So instead of making a Superman movie for $150 million and not knowing which way the wind's going to blow on it, we're going to just, go with a more modest, maybe 50 to 60 mil budget for a Supergirl. And it's kind of like, ugh, that's weird. And maybe I'm just looking at it through the wrong lens, or maybe I have too much fandom for these characters and I'm like in denial about it. I just don't get how a Superman movie cannot work if done correctly with people that care about the character and actually understand the character. So they have to resort to using Supergirl, which, I mean, it's fine. You can have Supergirl in it at one point, but like a fucking spinoff movie for Supergirl, like, I want to see an awesome Superman movie first. So I think with the Matt Reeves thing in Batman, they were so entrenched in it already. And I think maybe Matt Reeves just had a great pitch of like, this is what I want to do. So they're going all in because, I mean, at the end of the day, even like those really bad Batman movies from Nicole Schumacher, they still fucking worked. Like, they still made money off the merch and all that shit too. And then that probably went away a little bit for Batman and Robin. But Batman has proven like you can pretty much make a very average Batman film, if not sucky, and it's gonna make money. People are gonna go see it. Superman has not proven to do that lately, which is just interesting to me. So my roundabout way of talking about it is, I don't know. I thought it was a great idea that they brought up like a conversation piece about it, but like, I don't know. At the end of the day, would it kill any of them to make just a badass Superman film or a Green Lantern movie that works? And I mean, I hope that with like Captain Marvel coming out, which reminds me a lot of Green Lantern in a lot of ways, that boom, DC gets the light switch to go off and be like, okay, we can do this. And regardless of what I say about these films, like my disdain for Aquaman and my so-so opinion on Wonder Woman, like, I hope they do well, and I hope that they were just good quality movies. That's what I care about, because I want to have a fun experience. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me more rant and rambling and padding the numbers. I don't know, people, but just fuck, why is it so hard to get a Superman movie? I don't know. But let's go ahead and go towards the last leg of today's episode with a couple industry notes, because we got some stuff to go to. So speaking of the House of Mouse and the Marvel machine, as we've talked about before, Disney Plus, which is Disney's exclusive streaming service, which is launching towards the end of this year, we had a new report come out from The Hollywood Reporter for this Loki TV miniseries show that they're doing. So, according to The Hollywood Reporter, Tom Hiddleston is involved. I keep seeing conflicting stuff if he's going to star in it or just do VO work. I'm very curious, or excuse me, narrate it. So, they said, per The Hollywood Reporter, talking to one of their sources, the idea, the synopsis of this Loki show is going to be about Loki. Will drop into various points of human history and influence certain historical events. So basically, it's Loki meets Quantum Leap, but like, he's a dick. I really hope this isn't true. When I read this did absolutely zero for me. Zero for me. I was just like, this sounds horrible. Like, I don't know. Like, do you need to do a Loki show? But I mean, I guess you could if you did like a younger Loki. I can kind of get that. And then that would be cool if you could cast like a younger Thor and see if they're like side by side upbringing, and you could kind of see the seeds being planted of him becoming the basically the very, very mean person he's going to become eventually. But this, I'm just like, how does that even work in the MCU with like history? Like, does Loki just take off for a fucking weekend for an episode? He's like, all right, bye Thor, I'm just gonna take off and go influence Hitler and his science experiments with apes and women and make the perfect super ape soldier. Like, I don't know. So I think the production level for this stuff is going to be great, but I don't know. I hope this is kind of like just salt, and it's just all bogus. And I mean, at the end of the day, Marvel has a track record with killing it so far with a lot of things they do. So I'm all up for it. I'll be open-minded for it. And then on another industry note, we have Mandalorian has finished filming another net Disney Plus show that's going to come out, I believe, next year. Jon Favreau is the director or the creator of this show. Now, this is one of the things Star Wars related I am very, very excited about. Some really great names attached to direct and just a lot of good talent on the project. I hope this, like, I just hope this is great. I mean, a well-done, a fair-budgeted Star Wars series is what I'm all about. With a, just make a good show, and I will give you my money for it. And I think that's the beauty of Disney with what they're doing with certain properties and having all these talent on there, where you can make, like, Star Wars Rebels still, I mean, I cannot praise that enough as a show that's a spinoff from the main series and what have you. But onto our next note, speaking of Star Wars Episode 9, that has officially wrapped up production, so they're going to head into post here. Hopefully we get a flippin' name of this as well as a trailer soon. I've heard tons of little rumors that it's out there. They finish editing the trailer, and I'm not sure if, like, because Disney, what's it called, their convention they do, I think that's in May or June, so I don't know if they're going to wait that long to show it. They might, but this thing, I think, comes out, what, in December, the holiday of this year? Is that right? Yeah, because we didn't have a Star Wars movie last, or we did, it was Solo, but I think, yeah, it's supposed to come out this year, so I got to actually double check on that, but I'm pretty sure it does. So it's one of those things where I want to know the title, I want to see some trailer of this, and I am oddly excited for this movie. Because, and this is the wrong reason probably to be excited for a film, I wonder how J.J. Abrams and Disney, if they listen to the critiques and basically the backlash they got for the last Star Wars film, if they, how they're going to retcon this stuff, like fix what Rian Johnson did and didn't do in the last movie that pissed a lot of people off. I'm very curious how he's going to do that and make it work, and how much time he's going to take throughout the movie when he does the final editing to undo what he did, or if it's just going to be kind of some throwaway lines. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can do it, and I'm sure he'll figure it out. But I'm gonna do Danny Domus. Let me just grab my robe here. Okay, got it on. Let me put on my hood. My prediction for this is, I think if you had like a spectrum, right, and Force Awakens was a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right in terms of what that movie was, where it was a safe film, but I felt like, and I've said this before, it was a safe film in regards to you basically had to undo or get back the goodwill and excitement, and it was going in, of all the shit that George Lucas messed up with the prequel movies. So JJ played it safe. He did do some repeat stuff of The New Hope, but I still think it actually had its own ideas and was a little bit different. I think it's easy to be like, oh, it's The New Hope 2.0. I think that's a kind of a lame comparison and comp, to be honest with you, in regards to Force Awakens. So I think JJ moved the sticks a little bit to the right. Rian Johnson came in and was like, I'm taking this shit in a whole different way. I'm taking it to a different spectrum. I got my own spectrum I made up here. I'm going to take it up there. And people are like, no, this is not what we wanted. We wanted something different. We didn't want to rehash the Star Wars, any of the Star Wars movies like Empire. But no, what are you doing with this? Like, we don't like this at all. So now JJ has to bring it back down to like the Star Wars spectrum. And I'm very curious to see how that works. But my prediction is at the end of the day, he is going to retcon a lot of stuff that happened. And it will unfortunately be, I think a lot of the headlines you're going to see in reviews of this movie is that Star Wars Episode 9, the Force fucking is here, awakens Jedi, whatever the fuck they call it, right? You'll see it say like most critics, most headlines, most reviews, and I think the overall feel and idea for a lot of Star Wars fans is you'll see JJ bring it back to the Star Wars way, but it will be labeled as a very, very safe Star Wars movie. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I think this is an IP that if you look at the books, you look at the comics, the video games, a lot of different stories and spinoffs they've done, which Star Wars fans just gobble up like, you know, an obese person at a all-you-can-eat buffet. They love it. They love when you go in different directions. It's a very thin line you got to walk with such a hardcore fandom where you stay true to the essence of what makes Star Wars special and cool, but still take it in different avenues and make it fresh and unique because there is so much story to tell within Star Wars. But I think for this, you're going to see it, unfortunately, just go back to kind of status quo in terms of the Star Wars major movies that we're aware of, like all the episode movies, and he'll play it safe just to kind of get the brand back to a spot where it's like, oh no, see, we're still Star Wars-y. But I think, unfortunately, that's not what this IP needs right now. I think it does need someone to come in and be like, it's still Star Wars, but we did take it in a new direction. That's easier said than done. So I wonder if how much of the hope and excitement for people will be based off of the two guys that write Game of Thrones. They're writing a new trilogy for Star Wars for movies. I wonder how many people are going to be like, let's see what that's about and see if they can do something different. Make it feel Star Warsy, but taken in different directions that are exciting and different and new. And then Rian Johnson apparently still has his trilogy greenlit by Disney. So I don't know how that's going to work, but I'm very curious to see about that just because of the fact that he had a lot of backlash and I wonder if he learns from it. So speaking of epic IPs, I thought this was a good bit of news. So per Amazon's Prime Video social media accounts, they posted and they're confirming that whole Lord of the Rings that they wrote a fat check for to make a TV series exclusively on Prime. It will run 5 seasons long, no release window given or how many episodes or how long per, you know, episode, that sort of thing. So I think I've talked about on the podcast before, Lord of the Rings, as far as the movies go, they're fine. Like I have watched them, I think like once each, or I think I've watched like Two Towers twice, and they're good movies. Like I'm like, okay, this is cool, but I'm not one of those Lord of the Rings fans where it's like, if you're flipping through the channels, oh, it's on, I have to watch it, or I'm gonna go out of my way to watch it repeatedly. Like it just doesn't do it for me. So, but this is something definitely I'm gonna give a shot and see how they do it over 5 seasons. I assume they have a plan for it. So for Lord of the Rings fans out there, I'm curious what their reaction is going to be, because it seems like, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, via listener questions to the havenpc@gmail.com email address, if you as like a Lord of the Rings fan, like hardcore, like you have a fucking tattoo of, I don't know, Sauron on your arm or something, if like the Lord of the Rings movies did it for you, because I'm pretty sure it did, like it scratched that itch. The Hobbit, not so much from what I recall, but I could be mistaken. So we'll see what happens with that. But I am loving like these medieval fantasy kind of epics coming to TV. I think it's a great medium for that. So between this, like Witcher coming to Netflix, even though I don't know why they casted Henry Cavill as Geralt, I'm just excited to see that kind of stuff. And it lends itself really, really good for that for that viewing medium. So, and then last but not least, our final industry note, we'll get go over so I can get you guys out of here. Captain Marvel, the movie impressions are coming out. So apparently some people have seen the final cut of the movie. These final cuts do not include any end credit scene, I assume for spoilers. But from everything I am reading, it's not just a good Marvel movie. We've talked about it. Marvel has their template down and their blueprint to a level where like even a weaker film is still kind of a good movie. Like Ant-Man's like one of the weaker movies, I would say, in the Marvel catalog, right? Thor the Dark World 2, I think that and Iron Man 2 were kind of before they had the blueprint down, to be honest with you. But I think now they're in a good space. So Ant-Man being one of the weaker ones, in my opinion, it's still a good movie. Like I still enjoy watching it. So with that said, not only are the impressions I'm seeing, and we'll see what happens, I have opening night tickets and what have you for this film, but it seems like everyone's saying, like, no, this is actually one of the stronger Marvel movies that are coming out, or that we've seen so far. So, and that's exciting to hear, because this is a huge year for Marvel films, believe it or not. Like, you have clearly Captain Marvel leading the charge. Oh, wait, what's this? It's Avengers Endgame. And then followed up with the second Spider-Man Far From Home. So you have these three really big Marvel movies coming out that are, you know, very, very important if you think about it. I mean, Spider-Man's a big deal for Marvel, I think, moving forward. Captain Marvel is a huge fucking deal for Marvel moving forward. They want this to work. They want audiences to engage and fall in love with this character and have it. I'm pretty sure Marvel is looking at Captain Marvel as their Captain America, if you will, moving forward for the next phases they do. And then, of course, the culmination of it all in the middle with Avengers Endgame, to see how this all kind of plays out and how they tie the knots and bow tie everything. So for me personally, I think I've mentioned it before on the podcast, I was extremely excited for this film. And I started seeing trailers and teasers, and I'm like, I don't know. This is something about this isn't sitting right with me. I don't know what it is, but something about it. So I've kind of tempered my expectations since then. But then you read shit like this, and you're like, okay, again, just wanted to have fun. I want it to be an awesome movie. Great, cool. It just, again, Marvel hasn't really done anything yet to give me pause for like, oh shit, a Marvel movie, that looks like crap. Like, again, Ant-Man and the Wasp, I enjoyed it, you know? And yeah, so there's just a lot of good stuff. It's gonna be a good year for movies and everything like that. So can't wait for it to come out. But with that said, that is going to do it for me today, guys. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. As always, thank you so much for listening. I greatly appreciate it. And if you did enjoy what you hear, or even if you're about it, lots of ways to support the podcast to help it grow. You know, send the links over to any family and friends who you think might enjoy hearing me ramble on about these topics, whether it's video games or TV or film. And then, you know, reach out to us, thehavenpc@gmail.com with your listener questions, or you can find us on Mixer or Instagram to search The Haven Podcast. And I have links in the description of the episode below, so you can just click on those guys and go straight there. And then, of course, rate, review, subscribe, blah, 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 that bullshit on your podcast listening platform of choice. Little housekeeping stuff I just wanted to go over. On this upcoming Friday's episode, I do plan to have my official review for Crackdown 3. So this is for the video game folks. Can't wait to share that with you, as well as some other little video game stuff I see popping up throughout the week. But I think mostly it's going to be focused on Crackdown 3 unless something huge drops. And then as far as that goes, I am also planning to have the review for Metro Exodus. I don't know if it's going to be on that episode or if it will be Spotlight. That's what I'm planning to do for the rest of the week, is get time in on those two guys. And so I'm able to give you a thorough, comprehensive review and what have you for your purchaser needs out there. And then on next week's, or on the following Monday's episode, I will have my reviews as well for two little series that I've, one I started watching, and so far, I mean, not spoiler, but a little tease, it's really fucking good. I'm really enjoying it. I got two episodes left. I don't know how they're gonna tie it up, but The Russian Doll on Netflix, I saw everyone blowing a load about it. That's cute. I started watching it last night with the wife, and I'm hooked. Like, we got two episodes left, and I'm just like, oh, fuck, I really, what is, like, where's this going? Like, how's this going to end? But so far, it's been really brilliant. And then The Umbrella Academy from Netflix, which is like this, I don't know, this more mature X-Men maybe type of thing. It looks cool, the teasers and trailers with Ellen Page and stuff. So I can't wait to watch that. But I'll have full official reviews for those two guys on next Monday's TV and film focus episode. So that's gonna do it for me. Again, as always, thank you so much for listening, you guys. Take care, and I will talk to you guys this upcoming Friday.